Hey guys, it's Lauren.
And I'm Megan. Welcome back to Scribe Squad Pod, a Fourth Wing book club podcast. We are about to go into our deep dive, which will include some spoilers from Fourth Wing and Iron Flame. So if you have not finished those books and you are not interested in spoilers, continue on to next week's episode where we'll be going over chapter 3. Otherwise, tune in for our deep dive. Alrighty, week 2, deep dive.
And 2, we're going to go over the maps. Ooh. So if you have a physical copy of your books, you can turn to the front and the maps are on both Fourth Wing and Iron Flame. I don't know how that's going to work with the paperback copy. As of right now, they just now released that there is going to be a paperback copy. Just released it. Also today, which is the 23rd, Rebecca Yarros has released that there are some extra chapters from Zayden's point of view. We had to shoot that to the book club group text this morning.
I'm so excited.
So that might be a deep dive we do here in the near future, would be going over that point of view. We don't know. I don't know what it'll definitely be a topic, but I'm not sure.
When. Yeah, we don't know when, but it'll be a topic.
So we don't have necessarily a ton of information about everything, but to start your foundation of the continent, which it's the first thing I was going to say is, isn't it interesting that it's just the continent? Yep. That's all. That is what this continent is labeled, the continent.
Yep. But it's also funny that you say that too, because I just read like ACOTAR, they also call it the continent. It doesn't have like a name. They just call it the continent.
Interesting.
So I don't know more things, but anyway, but yeah, they call it the same thing.
Which, until I think we'll kind of talk about it when we talk about the province, so far this is the only continent that we know that exists.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But we might have a different theory.
Yeah. We'll see.
So let's start off with what we are the most familiar with.
Yes. So it says a lot of this comes from chapter 2 too, where Violet's like spouting out a bunch of information while she's nervous. She says that Navarre is the larger kingdom on the continent, but it's made of 6 provinces. So you have Tirindor, Breivik, Signazin, the Barons, and Paramiel. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. And that includes some more.
One thing, before we even go into that, let's like physically looking at the map, you notice something.
Oh, yeah. So, and this isn't something I don't have an answer for, but.
You guys can help us. Let us know if you know.
This is an open discussion.
Yes.
So if you're looking at the maps, if you have a physical copy of it, and you can find it online if you don't. So one thing that I noticed is Navarre, Paramiel, and the Barons, they're all bold. They all are in bold lettering, almost like they're their own separate like states almost. And I'm comparing this to the U.S. because that's really all I know. But almost like they're different states. But all the other ones are called provinces, like the Tirindor province, the Luceris province, even in Navarre is the Moraine province. So I don't know why they're like that.
If they are.
Or if that is what they are or what's going on with that.
Which is interesting because you see, obviously, as we go into Iron Flame, she starts there. We do get some more information about other places and outside the Numerian walls.
Right.
But it doesn't give us the history to that quite yet. And honestly, if they had if she knew the history, it might not be accurate. So
yeah, very true.
So that is something that I didn't even notice. And is that in both Fourth Wing?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
It's in both of them. And I didn't pick up on it at first, but as I was doing the research for this, I noticed it. And I thought to myself, why is that? What's the reasoning for that? But maybe we'll find out.
So one of the big things about the second Iron Flames map is it does get more detailed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And some of it makes sense why it's more detailed.
Yes. We're introduced to new cities and different outposts, they call them, in Iron Flame. And so it's pointing them out on there, which is nice to see it as well, just because they talk about it so much, specifically in Iron Flame. And they talk about like how far away it is and stuff like that. But without actually looking at it, some of them are not on there. Specifically, Samara is on the Iron Flame map, but it's not on the Fourth Wing map. And so after reading Iron Flame, it was nice to see actually how far these places were from another.
And I think that there is some mystery still left. So mm-hmm. the thing we were talking about before we hit start that we had to get in here quickly because we're enjoying our discussion so much was the Bay of Malek.
Yes.
That is on the maps now.
Mm-hmm. It's on the Iron Flame map.
But it's not been mentioned.
Correct.
But that makes sense. So they pay homage to these gods. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense. I'm sure that there is going to be something special about that. But we don't know. And then, of course, you have these two bodies of water. You have the Emerald Sea and you have
the Arctile Ocean.
Yes, the Arctile Ocean. Mm-hmm. So those are like the bodies of water that surround it.
Yeah. I guess this is also...
Which we haven't really found out much about those necessarily either.
Right. The biggest thing that we have information on is obviously Navarre at this point. And then also the Cliffs of Drelor is huge. Because it talks about it being a natural border between like Tirindor and Paramil. And it also creates this like... not just a border, but also like a protective.
Like a geographical barrier.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very protective. And also another thing is the Madaro Pass, which comes up in Iron Flame. So it's, again, it's nice to see exactly where they are and how it correlates to that as
Does
well.
Does ACOTAR have a map in there?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I haven't read ACOTAR, everyone. Yeah. But I hear it's very good, very similar to some of this. So let's go into Navarre. We'll start with Tirindor.
Yes.
So Tirindor gets brought up in chapter 2.
And 1.
You're right. Mm-hmm. One of the things that she says, there's two big things. It's the last of the bordering provinces to join the alliance and swear fealty?
I think it's fealty.
To King Reginald. Mm-hmm. This is the only time we've heard King Reginald.
I was about to say the same thing.
So King Reginald, we know that's going to be really important. Mm-hmm. You just have to, or that was just, I don't know, maybe a part of history. But it's interesting that it's the last one. And then also they've tried to leave. They've mm-hmm. tried to leave multiple times. Mm-hmm. And what she says is that it would have left the rest of the kingdom defenseless. Mm-hmm. And prior to filming, you and I brought this up because until we started doing this deep dive on the map, I never really physically, we looked at it. We talked about it in book club.
Pay attention.
But it's the only raised mm-hmm. like plateau in the map. So mm-hmm. you see that it does create this geographical barrier. But you and I both brought up as why would this leave them defenseless?
Right. Exactly. Because if you're looking at the map, okay, if we're talking about it being defenseless, you'd think, oh, it's the only one that's on the water. But Paramil's on the water. The Barons are on the water. So it's like, why specifically Tirindor?
And there is this mountain range that separates the rest of them. But again, it's this own raised platform. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it, there is a second geographical barrier that is going almost like east to west or west to east that is... would create and protect Navarre further right. up. So we started theorizing.
Right.
Is there something that's going to come from a different continent?
Right. Is there another continent out there?
Yes. Or right. is there something in this province mm-hmm. that's dangerous?
Yeah.
That they, like, you have to control it to keep it in check.
Yeah, for sure. Another thing to, going back to mentioning it in Tirindor, this is where Zayden's from, too. And we know Zayden's father was the one who led the rebellion against the Navarrian kingdom or whatever the case may be. So this is where he's from. So that's why it was such a huge deal. It's because not only was it somebody trying to succeed, but it was also Tirindor trying to succeed from the rest of the continent.
I definitely think there's more information about Tirindor that they know more.
Yeah.
They know something more.
Yeah, for sure.
I think their fables, their pass downs, they know that. So yes. Tirindor definitely is the one we know the most about. And then we got Bravik, mm-hmm. which is to the east. Mm-hmm. I don't really think that
they didn't tell much information about that one.
And I don't think that gets mentioned mm-hmm. a lot.
Not a ton. The other one that we hear more about specifically, I'd say in Iron Flame, is Paramil. And I think it talks about it a little bit, obviously, in the first one, too. But it's like this one, Violet was saying, is they have, like, all the textiles, the grain, And then they also have unique crystalline gems capable of amplifying minor magic.
And that she did say, she just said in chapter two.
Correct.
Which will become a big theme in Iron Flame about this. And I think that we will see, obviously, that I think that will be a big part of the third book.
I agree. I think that's going to be a huge part of the third book.
So one of the things that we, you know, Lauren threw in our notes was, of course, if you've read Iron Flame, the runes. Mm-hmm. So again, you have this line from her father that's like, you already know all the information. And it's interesting because she is kind of outlining this information that if you've read both books.
Yes, it was there all along.
It was, which again, we have been very focused on Easter eggs and we're catching some that like we find very important, but we want to hear about y'all's Easter eggs because I mean, every time I read this, I figure out something different.
Same. I would have never caught on to these small little details whenever I first read it at all.
Yes.
There's no way.
They also, as she's shouting and she's running, she spouts out that they have a trade agreement that they exchange meat and lumber from Navarre for cloth and agriculture within Promille 4 times a year. And that their outpost is on, like, close to Tarindor. So
Athbine.
Athbine. Yeah. And this is... Also, she describes this area as very marshy. I remember that in there. And you could tell, I mean, obviously being near all of the water, that makes sense. So, again, interesting that it's in Tarindor. Like, it's right on that border. Very important. Very important.
Yeah, there's something going on about Tarindor. And we haven't been given all of the information about it yet. But Tarindor is playing a huge part in the history of Navarre. But we don't know... why.
Yes.
Exactly. And what makes it so important to keep them at bay.
So we have the mention of the Barrens, which is the desert land. And how do you say the one with the C? Cygnison?
I have always pronounced it Cygnison, but I don't know if that's correct.
Rebecca Yaros, I would personally like you to reach out and tell us how to pronounce these words. Yes. We will be here for that.
We would love that because I'm the worst.
So that is, yes.
Yeah, so, and obviously one of the biggest differences, just like the addition of different cities. One thing I would like to point out, too, is they talk about it in Fourth Wing, about the Vale, all the time. And, you know, Bisgaeth is right here. And whenever I first read Fourth Wing, I was always picturing the Vale, like, near, like, the Rider's Quadrant, because obviously the dragons have got to be near there. But I never realized until I read Iron Flame and looked at this, the Vale is basically at Bisgaeth.
Yes.
It's literally right there.
So that's what I was just looking for. Sorry, I'm making a lot of shuffling paper noises. That I actually printed out a map of the War College so that I thought that it was on here. Nope, it's not.
I thought it was. It's in some energy here. Let me see. Is this Iron Flame? Yes. Yeah. Am I crazy?
Are we crazy?
I'm crazy. I'm home fun.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure it was in Mardi.
It's oh yeah, no, it is. The Vale is in the valley behind the Bisgaeth War College where the dragons live. Yeah, so it is. There. It is not quite in there.
It's like up here somewhere. Like it's very, very close to the college. And that I mean that obviously makes sense. But reading it the first time, I did not realize how close all these dragons are. Like that's their home, that's where they live, and that's where they hatchlings and everything like that. I didn't realize how close it was, and that plays a huge part.
The other thing I was going to say, while we were doing our deep dive research, I personally ended up going to a blog. It was called The Literary Lifestyle, and I'll link it in our post so you can get. She has outlined a lot of this information, and it's got a lot of good details that we're not going to include, just some basic information. Mm-hmm. And we love resources.
Yes.
But that's where we figured out I had the information about the Vale. Calder is going to be my favorite location because that's almost my maiden name, but we know nothing about it yet. Yep. But I want to see. And then of course we don't know anything. We don't really know anything about seas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't really talk about much. Like, you don't really get much information about logistics of the continent very much at all, other than this little tidbit. And maybe so in Iron Flame, but I've only read it twice. As bad as that sounds,
I've only read it twice. Well, and I just feel like you focus on so much information.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So the other thing I wanted to touch on, are you okay moving from the Big Maps and talking about the War College?
Yes.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the War College because that is where she's going to spend most of her time in the first book, if not all of her time. I think in Iron Flame, you get to go out a little bit more. So Fourth Wing has the outline in it, correct?
Yes,
Bazgaith War College, but it doesn't have these labels. Is that right?
It does.
It does?
It's just tiny.
Oh, I apologize. I did not notice this the first time. So, you know, as we're talking about the importance of maps, we have hit on a few times that there is a hierarchy and that the writer's quadrant seems to be kind of like its own separate thing.
Yeah.
And as you're looking at the college, they have physically separated them.
Yeah, it's literally totally separate.
Yes, which makes sense because of the danger.
Yes.
But also, again, creating almost an elitist personality or elitist culture of you are separate. Mm-hmm.
You're better than everybody else. You get your own space. You get to do what you want to do. You don't have to follow the rules.
I also think it's interesting because the writer's quadrant is over half the size of the whole rest of the college.
Right.
So they have, you know, the dorms, the first. There is no mention of dorms in anyone else's.
Yeah, I guess not.
So I, again, scratching my brain, when you're in the scribe quadrant, do you go home at night?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I feel like there was a mention of the infantry has dorms at some point.
Which, if you look at this, is this almost... The healer quadrant looks to be the smallest.
It's bitty tiny.
Teeny.
And as you notice, it's closest to the writer's quadrant because they have to deal with them the most frequently.
The other thing... Well, and then you have the entry, which was... It is... it's fairly big, but definitely not... I mean, it's smaller than the administration building.
Yeah.
And... Then the scribe quadrant is underground.
And they talk about that too because that's the way they preserve. But again, it's almost like saying that scribes don't matter and they just should always be in the background.
They're literally beneath us.
They're literally beneath us.
So I just think that that's interesting. The other thing that I want to point out about this map, what do you notice about the scribe squadron that I did not pick up?
Its shape?
Yes. What is it doing? It's exiting into different halls.
Oh.
At least that's what I'm seeing. So I don't know where that's leading to, but I just think that the fact that there's potentially these underground tunnels.
Not just here, but they're presumably going out somewhere else. Oh, yeah.
So where are they heading?
Where are they going? What's going on here?
Also, the nice thing that you could see on this map is General Sorengale's office.
Yes.
So you see how far, like how close Violet has been to this her entire life.
Mm-hmm. Because they live here. She's lived here for the past 5 years with her mom. And partially Mira, but mostly her mom.
And you see that, I mean, her mom's facing the action right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that if you are a resource person, there are a lot of good blogs out there that have information about more detailed about the maps. If you are a TikTok person, there's some good theories about why the maps are different.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are following along with our companion piece, this is all information that, again, I kind of wish I had at the beginning just to even help me form theories and to understand even where the flight field is.
Right.
Which seems like in my brain, I was thinking they like went very far away, but it's a skip, pop, and a jump.
Yeah. And it's like up. I think it's like raised up because the gauntlet's here. And as you know from the gauntlet, to get to the flight field, you have to go up or there's stairs. But I was thinking again, like it was like way, like a pasture somewhere, like way off, but it's all right there. And then again, the veil has to be like essentially right here somewhere. And so it's crazy how close everything is together.
And then you see that there is two ways between the main part of the college and the Rider's Quadrant, which is looks to be a bridge. And then what we are assuming is the parapet to the left.
Yeah, they don't ever specifically, and it's not labeled on here, but I have always assumed the left bridge is the parapet because it's the longest. And then the other one is just the bridge in order for the Riders to get to the Healer's Quadrant specifically and to the archives because they do have like chores they have to do occasionally. But the main one that they go to all the time is the Healer's Quadrant.
Whew. I feel like that was a lot of information about not a lot. Like for information that we're lacking, we are trying so hard to provide you guys with some. The other thing about the map, the last thing that I really had to point out was they talk about this agreement and then they reference it as AU. I can't remember exactly where I saw it, which was after unification.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that it's interesting that she's creating her timeline in like a almost like a BC.
Yeah, BC.
She has an after unification date. And I think that that obviously has to do with the geography of the map and when they became unified.
Right.
So I think we'll hear more about the king.
Yeah.
I think that the unification will become prominent in the next few books. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we get figure out why some of these places are on these maps that we know nothing about.
And hopefully even more backstory. Because like I said, I think in the first chapter episode, I was like, the whole war itself could be a prequel. So I'm wondering if that's going, because I think that would help out a ton. Because we know very little about the war itself and like what exactly happened. I mean, we get a little bit of information in Iron Flame, but more so what exactly was the issue, what led up to it, more of this before BC.
Why is some of it unified? Why is not the why is the entire continent not unified?
Exactly. Yeah.
And how did the dragons play a part in the unification?
Yeah.
Because I think they will always be a footnote in the history. Like they will always be a part of the decision making.
I agree.
All right. Next week, guys, we are, I think that's it. Sorry. I didn't mean to. Yeah. So next week we are going to have a little bit of a change of how we're doing things. So our deep dive will include some extras that have not been in the past two episodes. If you are enjoying what you're listening to,
If you're enjoying what you're listening to, please make sure you check us out on all of our social medias. We are at Scribe Squad Pod across all social medias. Please make sure that you rate and subscribe to our podcast. It really helps us out a ton to get out there to everybody to hear everything we've got to say. If you have any additional information that you want or have any comments or anything like that, please make sure to shoot us an email. Our email address is scribesquadpod@gmail.com. And we hope you guys are enjoying what you're hearing.